just a little intro.
I like it.
It's up our alley, isn't it?
It sounds like my song, Almost Home.
It does have that little JD twang to it. I like that. That's excellent. And you are JD Daniels.
I am.
I'm so excited to be doing this with you. I am Denise Warner from the Lesbian Lounge podcast. And JD and I have just launched the Whiskey Rock Lounge. I think it's appropriate, man. It's the one thing that I can say that we definitely have in common is that we do like a good whiskey, don't we?
Like lounges.
Yeah, and lounges.
I like my whiskey on the rocks, so there you go. Do you like your whiskey on the rocks?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I do. Tonight, I do not have it on the rocks. It's only because it's freaking freezing here in London, England.
Already.
Like the day that it became fall, the temperatures just fell in line. It was like, okay, there we go. The heat is over with. And it just got so cold. It was like 61 degrees in my bedroom last night.
Wow, I'm jealous.
I kind of thought you might be. Every time I talk to my mother and I tell her the temperature, she's extremely jealous. So you guys are hot and sweaty in Boca Raton.
Yeah, I mean, it's when it dips down below 90, we think we're in fall, but that hasn't happened yet. I think it might have dipped down the other day. We had a breeze, but I don't know.
I do question, like, I lived there for like 25 plus years, and I'm a person that absolutely detests the heat. So it always, like, when I tell people I hate the heat, the first thing they say is, but you lived in Florida. Like, yeah, but everything was air conditioned. That's different.
Right.
You know?
Right. Really true.
Yeah. Those quick walks to the Jeep were brutal. So.
You have a Jeep. Do you still have a Jeep? No, you don't have a Jeep there, right?
No, I don't even drive here. Are you kidding me? It's crazy. I can't grasp that other side of the road. Steering wheel on the other side of the car, driving on the other side of the road. It's tough. Like, I still flinch because it feels like cars are so close, like passenger side. Or even when we drive down these crazy, like little tiny, they're like bicycle tracks. They're not even roads. You know, they're like these narrow little lanes that are covered with trees all over. And I feel like I'm going like this in the passenger side because they feel so close to the car. And if I was driving, it wouldn't bother me. Like, it wouldn't.
Right.
Yeah, I'd feel like I could move over a little bit. But yeah, it's still, I did once, I went around the corner from like where we live over to my friend Hazel's house. And they were in the car and they were like, oh my God, you're hugging the wrong side of the road. And I'm like, I don't think I am. I didn't feel like I did badly, but judging by their reviews, I totally bottled it. So I'm just not going to attempt it. I don't really need to. I mean, thankfully, I live where I could walk to everything. So
yeah, you're living in a city situation, in a city type of a town, or
it feels villagey, even though it's a city, and it's about 9 or 10 miles south of London. So we're far enough away to not have that hustly bustly feel.
Right.
And it feels a little bit villagey because we live like right on, kind of like, right around the corner from the high street. So that's where everything is, you know, your grocery store, your doctor, your bank, everything is right there, and it's all within walking distance. So there's really no need to have a car. And then if you do want to get into London, we live like about 100 steps from the train station. So
is a high, like the highway? Is that what a high street is?
It's kind of like the main little road of the city where all the shops and everything are, how there's, you know, like one, you know, like where I was, it was kind of University Drive was kind of the main drag.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's kind of like what the high street is. It's just where everything is. And then everything else is kind of residential, you know, on either side of it. So it's a fantastic location. Like, that's the best part. That's the best part of living here is we are in an exceptional location, like just kind of the hubbub of this little city. But you know, it's a real mix of people. Like, there's a lot of families, but now it's because it's really a good, it's on a good track to get into London. A lot of people that commute want to be here because it's away from that bustly city feel, that New York City feel, you know, it's like going back to the suburbs. So yeah, it's starting to really I'm starting to see a lot more construction of, you know, flats, if you will. Flats are everywhere. They're going up all over. So yeah, it's I think we got here at the right time, and this location was just, it just worked really well. Cause at that time, my wife Gemma was going back and forth into London to go to work a lot. So it worked out well.
Well, I'm excited about doing this just to hear how your life is in London, because it's much different. It's much more different than I thought it would be, just from us speaking, you know, before doing the show.
Yeah. So, yeah, me. It's way different than I thought it was going to be, too. I'll tell you that much. I only visited here like 3 times before I actually moved here. So, you know, that's what marriage. Love will make you do stupid things, JD. Love will make you do stupid things.
It's a song. I did that song, Grateful Dead Band. That's what love will make you do. It's kind of about that.
See.
A lot of songs written about that.
Yeah, yeah. But I tell you what, by the end of a series of these shows, we will have put together a pretty much a song just for that.
Have that one week a theme, one show a theme of that's what did love make you do?
Exactly. Perfect. But that's kind of what we. Yeah, this is what we were thinking about doing all along, right? Was to have this chilled out vibe, because, you know, one of the things I know I'm really passionate about is keeping politics off of the show. Like, I just do not want to hear it. It's everywhere right now. I know it's an election year, and I know that everybody out there is registered to vote. And if you're not, do it. And that's all I'm going to say on the topic. But there's so much hate in politics right now that we just wanted to kind of close the door on that. When you walk in, close the door on that and just sit down, pick up your guitar, grab a whiskey, and we'll have a little chat and a little song. Like that's pretty much the vibe that we wanted to create, you know, in this. And you know, we, like I said, we have a we met years ago. Like, I mean, seriously, should I say, like, is it 20?
You know, I stopped caring about the timeline of my life now, and I just, you know, let it out there. Yeah, it's been, what, you know, we were children, right? No.
I mean, really, it has. I mean, I remember, let's put it this way, it was probably in the 90s, wasn't it? Like, it was like 99, yeah. Right about 99, maybe going into 2000, yeah. And you were, I mean, this is, like, put it this way, this is how people will know, especially, you know, your fans and your Florida fans will know. This is when Pride Fest was still at War Memorial, right?
Right. And you, I think you and Donna introduced me. Mm-hmm. And every time I was playing in the Pride Fest, they always had me. And I either went right before Beverly McClellan.
Oh, that's her soul. Yeah, yeah.
Or I went right before her or right after her. So it was like the girl time of the Pride Fest on stage.
Yeah. Yes, I remember. Like, I do remember. And before we actually met, when we were, you know, when Don and I were just, like, going to Pride Fest, like, just as friends before we even had the show or the podcast, we would see you up there. And I would say, look how, I mean, how brave she is. Just a girl and her guitar up on a big lonely stage with no one, just singing her heart out. Like, and people just, at that time, it was like, they didn't have chairs set up, did they? People were just milling about. I was right. Like, that is so brave. Like, I remember thinking that every year. And then we finally got to introduce you, and that's how we met up. And I think we kind of corralled you into being on our show, and you graciously accepted. And then, like we were saying, and then from then on, we just became like mad, twisted, gross stalkers.
What's wrong with that? Nothing wrong with a good stalker.
I remember, like, seeing you at all the different bars that you were playing at, from like Rosie Babies to somewhere in Del Rey. And I mean, like, we would just show up and we would just be Google-eyed, sniffing you constantly because you always smelled so good. We were always talking about, like, oh my God, she smells so good. Doesn't she smell so good? Like, we always had our noses in you. And and then from then we just, I don't even know. Like, I don't even know what would make you give us your phone number, but then we constantly used to call you while we were doing the show and, like, bug you while you were in, like, Target or something.
Oh, right. And actually, Well, first of all, to back up a minute, it wasn't a party until you girls got there. So wherever I was, I loved you girls being there. And then coming into the lounge, when I was on the show, that was so much fun. I never knew what you guys were going to be doing when I came in. And I remember one time you were testing like poise pads or something, and there was one of those. It was like an ice cube for the whole show on top of the.
Yeah, we did some interesting experiments for our listeners.
But I remember now, because now this will put a timeline on it, because it was like the late 1990s, early 2000s, because I was working in Nashville. It was while I was working in Nashville on my CD.
Yeah.
And when I was traveling for the troops, and I was calling in the show wherever I was.
Right.
So a lot of times I would just surprise you girls and call in and say, I'm in Nashville, I'm in Kentucky, I'm in, you know, where. And it sounded like I was this world traveler, but I really wasn't on tour constantly. You know, it was just, I was calling when I was out of town.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, we kept you on a really short leash. Like, we had to know where you were at all times.
Nice to be on someone's leash sometimes.
it was fun, but yeah. And like I said, I don't know what would propel you to actually give us your phone number, but you did. And then we would just do meetups, like, right? We would just like meet up for like burgers and shakes and stuff like that. And we learned that you were a huge Steak and Shake fan. Like, you were a Steak and Shake junkie like we were.
Right. Yeah. We didn't have that in Coral Springs. So
you had to go far for them, didn't you? Yeah. So yeah, and then when we got you to play at Girls at Gay Days in Orlando, we had to get you there. Like, we had to map out where the Steak and Shakes were as directions, because we didn't even know road names. So we were just like, you gotta make a left at the Steak and Shake somewhere on like Kissimmee Boulevard or whatever it was. And I just remember that there was not a Steak and Shake then close enough. Right. And we really messed it up. And didn't you just kind of come cruising in with the guitar on your shoulder because it was so late by the time you actually got there?
Yeah. I was on that trip. And that was before GPS. That was when cell phones weren't. So we could not find a Steak and Shake. And that became... That point became moot at that point. We just needed to find where you girls were. And I did get to perform, but I think I went on last. I don't know if I was supposed to be, but I think
you're right. I do remember like whipping out my flip phone.
Mm-hmm. I felt so bad because I'm like, they probably think I'm so stupid that we can't find this place. And the roads there weren't too many landmarks. It was just a lot of trees. And
a lot of tall, like, hotels, like big hotels. And we were at, you know, like, for you to understand which one it was absolutely brutal. But you made it. You cruised right in. You're right. You got the last slot.
I think I had a lot of fun and things that happened before we got there in the pool. Because I just heard stories and a lot of, like, craziness going on in the pool.
Yeah, we did used to make up, we made up a lot of games. Like, Donna and I would... I remember distinctly sitting in like a Denny's, and we didn't even have a paper and pencil, and we just borrowed the waitress's pen. We flipped over a menu thing, like a placemat, and we wrote out like all these crazy games that we were going to make the girls do for, because at that time we were giving away some good prizes. I mean, we had your CDs. people will do funny things like for, we didn't want to just go the wet t-shirt route, you know, because we knew it was going to be a lot of rowdy lesbians. We didn't want to just go the wet t-shirt route because that was too easy. So we had like girls lay down on the concrete and put a muffin on their crotch, and then their partner had to eat the muffin. And it was like, eat the muffin. And then we had beach balls that they had to put between their knees, but we oiled them up with suntan lotion. So they were like popping out, and they had to like hold it and like, you know, do it like an obstacle course. And I mean, we had some nutty games, but it was always so fun. And like I said, people would do anything for a t-shirt too. My God, the stakes really went up for a t-shirt. It's crazy. But we had some excellent times. So we did have like, we did kind of like our paths crossed like a lot. You know, so it was inevitable that it was going to lead us to this moment tonight.
I was excited when you said you wanted to do this with me, because originally I called to see if you would be a guest. And then we started talking, and I'm like, because I didn't want to do it alone, but I couldn't get anyone to admit that they would, you know, I usually have a little more enthusiasm about these things than other people around me, but you were just as excited about it as I was. So and you're much more knowledgeable technology wise than I am about this stuff. So I'm learning.
Yeah, I think we both are at this point, aren't we? I mean, this is like a whole new, this is all new to me to be doing like a video thing is just like really new. But the cool thing is that, well, first of all, what are you drinking? Are you drinking? Did we mention? Yeah.
I was just going to ask you, I am drinking Rebel Yell. Let me get this.
What do you got?
This backwards, or can you see it?
Oh, yeah, no, I could see it. Yeah, yeah. Oh, look at you at high end. I went Jack Daniels, honey. I went lowbrow. You went highbrow, lowbrow.
It's been 80 proof, so I have it in a... I like my whiskey on
you
the rocks.
You do, like, you got a little ice in yours. I went straight up because it's so cold here. And here's a funny thing about over here. You just said 80 proof, so mine is 35%. And I don't even know what that means in the UK.
Well, I think, what is that? That's Honey Jack?
Yeah.
I think it's 70 proof.
Okay.
Yeah, the other side, it's where it says proof. Because it probably says 40, it probably says 35% alcohol volume or something.
Oh, gotcha.
Then you'll see proof somewhere on the bottle. I kind of know that about Jack Daniels. I know a little.
It's a little weird here, like how they do that ABV, alcohol by volume.
Yours might be different.
Right. Because when I worked in the pub, it was like they had to, every ale that we had on the pump had to have the ABV listed, which is...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But people inquire about it. It was just, oh, no, I can't have those because that's like a 5.5. You know, I got to stick with 3 and 3.5s. And I was just like, oh, okay. Like it was all new to me when I was working, everything was new to me, but we'll get into that on another show. So you went high end with your Rebel Yell. I went complete lowbrow with Jack Daniel's Honey, and I don't care because I like it, but I've got a bunch lined up because I had joined a Whiskey of the Month club. I canceled after a month because I couldn't even get through one bottle, but they sent the thing that I liked about it was that they sent these tiny little samples.
Yeah.
But it would tell you all the notes that were going to be in it. I mean, there were some strange stuff like peat, like, you know, yeah. And then you would drink it and you'd be like, it tastes a little like something that you would scrape off your lawnmower, you know, like it was weird. But yeah, so I've got like a lot to get through. So we're going to have to commit to doing this once a week because I got to get through all this whiskey.
Yeah. You've got the Whiskey of the Month. It's like the Jelly of the Month Club.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, wow, I don't even know what I was thinking. Like, I thought I was going to get into it because we went to Dublin, and I was very, I felt like I was very much in my element while we were at the Jameson Factory.
Oh, nice.
And I drank everybody's free sample. Like, you know, I was like, my mom, you're not going to drink that, are you? I'll drink that. You guys drink, you don't really like that? I'll drink that. So I was just throwing them back, and I bought like a couple of bottles to bring home. And I totally got my mother hooked on it. So when she got back home, she was sending me pictures of her Jameson's and ginger with a little lime in it, because that was how they were serving the samples. And that became like my drink of like 2 years ago. I was just pounding Jameson's. So I really thought I was going to be like well into this whiskey thing, like well enough to join a Whiskey of the Month. But I realized I'm not that hardcore. And I don't have enough friends to come over and drink it. You know, like my friends are like more beer drinkers and cider or ale. So I had to jump off that track. That was going to lead me down a bad road. But we want to definitely talk about the different whiskeys that we're into at the moment. So it was you that introduced me to the, was it the Knob Creek, the maple Knob Creek?
Yep. We had that in my face when I first moved in. You girls, you guys were the first people that came over that I had, my first guests in my new...
That place was like, you know, when you are watching like an HGTV show and they do the big reveal at the end? Like I felt like we were walking through the big reveal because everything looked like it was staged for a television show. Like it is just the coolest pad ever. And to think that it's on the beach, is nuts. Like, that's nuts. That is so rock star right there. That is JD. That's JD right there.
I actually look at the beach more than I go to the beach, but it's very peaceful to even see it from the window. But thank you.
I mean, just to know that it's there is enough to put you to sleep every night. Like, that's beautiful. Right. Lovely thing. So we decided when we were going to do this that we're very fortunate to have had careers where we've met such talent. Like, we've really met some talented people, performers, musicians, and you know, fortunately they end up becoming friends. Like, I know with me when I was doing the L Fest year after year when I first moved here, it was a huge lesbian music and arts festival, and I was hosting the main stage, and I would get to introduce the bands and meet them, and I really made some of the best friends that I still have here doing that, like Lucy and Mandy Burton from Eek, Laura King, Nikki Mitchell, just to name a few. There's so many more, but I'm really excited about inviting them to be on, you know, have a little chat with them, have them play a song.
Oh yeah. Let
them know where they can find their music. And the same with you, because you've got loads of friends that are in the business, right?
I do. And I'm looking forward to meeting the girls from Eek, because we're just basically Facebook friends, and I've listened to their music on YouTube, and their harmonies are amazing. So I'm looking forward to meeting them on Zoom.
Yeah, that's the new thing. Like, we got to meet everybody. Like, this is the most socially distant show I can say yes. I'm a part of. Like, this is the most socially distant thing that I've done. This is great. I almost put on a mask, because, like, isn't it just like nowadays, like, you see a person, and if you have your mask in your hand because you're just getting a little bit of fresh air or something, the person's coming at you, you put the mask on. Like, I had that feeling to put a mask on because I can see you. So it's weird. We don't have to. We're far enough apart. This is good. So, yeah, we're going to have, like, some people come on and have a little chat and play a little song. And I need for you to invite your niece, Joni, because I just love her.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, we got to have Joni on. And we got to have Donna. We'll have Donna on because she loves to fangirl out with you. So, yeah, we'll have some of our like family and friends and our longtime people that we've met along the way, I think would be a nice little addition for people. And we're, you know, about plugging their stuff too, their music, where you can find them. I mean, musicians are having such a hard time right now. You're lucked out because you're doing a gig, aren't you?
I do. I have, but this is the first show I've done since February. And it's the first, I mean, other than playing in my home. Oh, no, actually, I did a live stream show on Facebook for a few weeks. I was doing, reaching, surprisingly, Europe. Like, I had people listening in Scotland and Italy and people. That was during the quarantine. And so, so I haven't played in front of an audience since February. And I did one show at Arts Garage where we had no audience. Every artist that went there played with just the sound people, and they took video, and it was live stream. So I was invited back now to do to play with my band, but it was very weird playing without an audience. It was, you know, I was on the stage. I knew people were going, and at that time it wasn't live stream because they were recording it. So it wasn't even like you could see the little bubbles and people popping up and you knew people were listening.
Yeah.
And it's odd to be on stage and try to be entertaining and say things when no one's like there. But I do have to say the two guys that were in the room did their best to be an audience. But this time, yeah. And then I was like, when I finished, I was like, you know, God, I hope that came off okay, because what did I say? Like, I couldn't even remember. Like, what are you saying? So I, you know, graciously, we were invited back. I just did a Zoom interview with Marjorie Waldo, who's the CEO of Arts Garage. And, you know, God bless them for keeping that place going and sustaining through all of this.
Yeah. It's
wonderful that they realize the importance of the arts. And I think people really need the arts right now. And so I'm really looking forward to next Saturday night, where it was supposed to be originally just a live stream show. And on my Facebook page, jddanner.com, you could get, there's a link for the tickets. But now they've allowed 33% capacity of an audience to be in there. So there'll be about people in the room.
That's not bad.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to having an audience and getting out there and playing again. And it's We rehearsed for the first time this week, and it was like, I don't know, there was a part of me that became alive again.
Oh, yeah.
I feel great, you know, where before it was like, oh, we have rehearsal. Now it was like, we have rehearsal, you know, and
yeah.
I can get in the room and play. So
it's weird that it's the new normal, isn't it? Like, you watch how everybody has adjusted. Like, talk shows, we're doing what we're doing, you know, doing interviews this way. And I'm honestly, like, right now I was looking at my backdrop and I'm like, is that okay? Like, what's my, I feel like I'm on like a CNN interview. Like, I wanted to have my backdrop like full of intelligent books and stuff over there. And, you know, my cool curved television over there. Like, I didn't, and like, that's what I notice in these interviews now is like people in there, what's behind them? What's going on back there? That kind of thing. Every interview. But yeah, like, if you think about all the different chat shows and news shows and everything, this is kind of the new normal. It's just like, had to get on board. Yeah.
And they're still doing it that way.
Yeah.
Back down, because I'm trying to find like a good angle, but I mean, I think this is good. I wanted my little Fender pick to be shown. As we do this, I'll have a backdrop, like maybe a different town behind me every.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Like, I don't know if I want to do that yet. Like, it always does look kind of like, I think of like Reggie on the James Corden show. Like, he didn't look good with a backdrop, and I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. So, yeah, this is the new norm, I guess. You know, we're here, we're on board, we're with it, we're down with it, we're cool like the kids. But we have a lot of different places where we're going to put this, and we should talk about Sunday is the actual kickoff. Like, how footballish! Like, Sunday is the kickoff of this. Is we're going to be posting these shows on Sunday, so. We don't need to tell people when we're recording them. That could be a big secret, whatever. But the fact remains that you viewers will be able to see this, you know, on Sundays. That's the gig. And we've got, we're going to put them on your Facebook, on JD Danner's Facebook, right? We're going to put them on our own, The Whiskey Rock. Oh God, I can't believe I'm doing it. I'm going to have to try and say this. The Whiskey Rock Lounge Facebook page. We will put this video. We will also have an audio podcast on our My Lesbian Radio, the Podbean feed. So people will get to hear it, but most importantly, they'll get to see it because your fans need to see you, whereas my fans just need to hear me. So we're combining forces, like my listeners, your fans, we're bringing people together. Like, I feel like we're connecting a large group. There's a lot of different ways, I should mention, a lot of different ways we're tackling this social media stuff. So we got a Twitter account now, and that is @whiskey_pod. And we also have an Instagram, which is Whiskey Rock Lounge, all one word. So we've got Instagram, we've got Twitter, we've got the Whiskey Rock Lounge Facebook page. But then, you know, your people can engage with you because sometimes after you post the show, you've alluded to perhaps doing a Facebook Live right after.
Yes. Yep. I am sometimes, not every week, but some weeks live in the lounge. And so right after the podcast, right after this show, we're going to be live in the lounge here with either myself playing some live music and hopefully some guests coming through. I'm going to get Judy in here. I'm going to get Joni in here, and you know, we'll get people in the lounge, Florida part of the lounge.
That's going to be awesome. But we also want people to know that you can drop questions on any of our social media platform, and we will try and get through them when we do a recording. So, you know, if they have questions for you, questions for me, whatever, questions about whatever topic we talked about the week before, doesn't matter, we'll try and get through them on our show. So we'll check before we record. And we'll take down any of your questions, and we'll answer them openly and honestly. And also, I do want to ask you a little bit about this Janice Ian thing.
Oh, yeah. I am so excited. Yeah. It's called the Better Times Project. And Janice Ian wrote a song called Better Times. It is, she wrote it during the pandemic, right? The day after John Prine passed away. Because he passed away from COVID. And she was really good friends with him. So she said while she was doing her laundry, this song started coming to her. And by the time the dryer cycle was done, she had like the first verse forest. I forgot exactly how the story goes, but that was the part. So she invited artists all over the world to submit their version of that song. And it was, you know, could be in whatever genre you play in, whatever language. So that song has been recorded literally all over the world. So many different languages. And it's even been done, not musically, it's been done with cartoons. Some two women got together and another version was they did art with scraps of material, and they kind of like played out the words with that, the lyrics. So, and they had symphonies, they've had choirs. So Judy and I got together. Judy's a huge John Prine fan, and as well as Janice and Ian. And I've gotten to hear so much more of her work now, because we're Facebook friends. I knew her early work, and she's written so many amazing songs. So we did it here in the lounge, in the Boca Lounge, and I put a video together with real pictures. They weren't stock pictures. Through the whole pandemic, especially during the quarantine, I was taking pictures kind of to document what was going on. So the signs that said beaches closed, essential businesses, non-essential businesses closed, and things like that. I had someone in New York send video of the military coming through New York City when the city was really a hot zone.
Yeah.
So I took that video and put that and those pictures and put them in between Judy and I singing the song. And they loved our version and they loved the video. And we got accepted to be on their website and to be part of the project.
Oh, that's fantastic. And now I heard, you told me the date got pushed back a little bit?
Yes. What happened was she was so inundated with people sending, you know, submitting their versions that they needed to make a website for it.
Oh.
And had to go through, I guess, all the people to listen to see who they were picking to be on the site and picking to be part of the project. And I was so excited when we got chosen. And I got the letter saying, here's your invitation. You are officially, you know, invited to be part of it. I called up Judy and I'm like, Judy, we're in. We got excited, you know, we got accepted. So I didn't post that video yet because I'm waiting for them to post it. And hopefully by the beginning of October, that website will be up. So
yeah, well done. Well done, as they say over here. Well done, you. Good job. So we've got a lot of stuff coming up. Literally, we have a lot of stuff coming up. So yeah, we're committed to doing this every week. And we're going to drop the video and the audio on Sundays. But again, like, you can follow us on Twitter, Whiskey_pod. You can follow us on Instagram, Whiskey Rock Lounge, and Facebook, The Whiskey Rock Lounge. JD is on Facebook. I am on Facebook. And we are really looking forward to this. It's going to be a really good time. We've got lots of topics. We've got tons of topics because we've got, not only this whole COVID thing, but, you know, which is an ongoing topic, but we got family. We got pop culture stuff. We've got the differences of living London versus the States. We've got relationship stuff we could talk about. We've got, we both have Italian background. So I'm going to just throw cooking in there. No, I know you are not.
Now you have that in common. And I don't.
Right. I do a lot. Yeah, I do a lot. I it's a little more difficult for me now because, like, Gemma is like full on vegetarian, non-dairy. It's difficult, but I deal with it. So I've adjusted and, sometimes I got to make two meals because I'm just not in the mood for vegetarian. But we've got a lot of cool stuff musically to talk about too, because what I've done is I compiled a bunch of clips from the different musicians I've interviewed. And when we talk about music, there's always something that, like, will catch my attention and I'll be like, oh, that's a good question for, like, all musicians, you know, that kind of thing. So we've got a couple of those things that we're gonna use. I don't know whether we'll actually play, but the actual clip, if I can, we'll see how it sounds. If it sounds yucky, we won't use it. But Yeah, so we've got like Melissa Etheridge, Jennifer Hudson, just to name a few. So I think it'll be a really well-rounded show, if you will.
it will be between the people I know, the people you know, and endless topics.
Yeah, that's the best part. And of course, if there's something that a viewer or a listener wants to know about, they can always drop that in. You know, drop that in any of the comment sections on any of our social media, and we'll use that particular topic if they want to hear about it. So it's fantastic. I think we've got great stuff coming down the pipe.
I think mixologists on the show too to give us some whiskey drink recipes.
Yes, I love a good whiskey sour. I'm not gonna lie, I love a good whiskey.
I know my whiskey with rocks, but you never know.
You never know. They might mix you up something that you will then be hooked on. That's what happens. So we'll see how that goes, but that'll be fun. That'll be fun too. So we'll wrap this one up. You want to play us a little something to take us out?
Oh, I sure would.
Yeah, strum us out, if you will. My favorite. Yes, strum us out, and then I will magically end this.
That would be awesome, because I don't know how to end it. But you're the brains in this operation with that. I usually end my shows with this song, and we're going to play this at Arts Garage. I don't know if we'll end our show with it, because I wrote a song during the quarantine called Nothing But Faith, and I think we're going to debut that at the Arts Garage.
Oh, cool. So, okay.
Just closing with that. So here's a little something from Almost Home. Wake up in the morning. Voices in my head. I try to find a reason to get out of my bed. My mind's so distracted by what used to be a dream. The best things in life aren't always what they seem. I'll start a new page. Take a new direction, dance in the rain, try some invention, with faith I will get through the storm. I'll find my way on my own, I'm almost home.
Yay! Excellent. All right. Catch back here next week, right?
Yeah. I cannot wait. See you then.